Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Let us pray. Speak to us, living God, just as you have spoken to our ancestors, through the voices of your prophets, the breath of your spirit, and the life of your Son, so that we may live according to your word, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 20 through 39, which can be found on page 403 and 404 in the Old Testament in your pew Bibles or on the screens.
So this week, our scripture lesson is a story about the evil king, Ahab, his infamous wife, Jezebel, and God's loyal prophet, Elijah. So before we read the scripture, let me just tell you a little bit about this cast of characters. Ahab, son of Omri, ruled the northern kingdom of Israel for 22 years. He was, by all standards, a bad man, and he made some pretty horrific choices. In 1 Kings 16, we are told, quote, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. And that's where Jezebel comes in. So after Ahab married Jezebel, the Phoenician princess, he chose to serve and worship the storm god Baal. It was one of the gods worshiped by Jezebel's people. And Ahab built a temple to Baal in the capital city of Samaria, and even made an Asherah pole as a tool of pagan worship. Now, this is where the prophet Elijah is going to come in. God's response was to send the prophet Elijah to Ahab and the people of Israel to make them understand that Baal was not who they should be worshiping. And Elijah announces that Ahab's worship of the Baals had provoked God to cause a 3.5-year drought in the land. And the drought was a direct challenge by God to Baal's influence, and because he was that storm god of rain and thunder and lightning and fertility. So this is where our scripture begins. So we're going to, Dick is going to be Elijah. You are going to be the people. And I get to read everything else. So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. I already lost my place. Elijah then came near to all the people and said,
how long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.
And the people did not answer a word. And then Elijah said to the people,
I only, am left the prophet of the Lord. The false prophets, number 450, let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the bull. God who answers by fire is indeed God.
And all the people answered,
well, sorry.
Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal,
choose for yourselves one bull and prepare your first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire to it.
So they took the bull that was given to them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, crying,
O Baal, answer us.
But there was no voice, and no answer. And they limped about the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying,
"Cry aloud. Surely he is God. Either he is meditating, or he has wandered away, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened."
And then they cried aloud. And as was their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no answer, and no response. And then Elijah said to all the people,
"Come closer."
And all the people came closer to him. And first he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain 2 measures of seed. And next he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said,
"Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood."
And then he said,
"Do it a second time."
And they did it a second time. And again he said,
"Do it a third time."
And they did it a third time, so that the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said,
"O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned your hearts back."
And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said,
"The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God."
The word of the Lord. So I'm going to show my age now, just a little bit, in case you hadn't already figured out how old I was. When I was a kid, Westerns were really popular on TV. And yes, there was TV back then. We had Bonanza, Rawhide, Wagon Train, and a whole lot more. Some of you remember all of that. And that's why when I read the scripture lesson this morning, I was reminded of that old-time Western, the ones of my youth, that always culminated in this showdown of some sort. And as the story in our scripture unfolds, Ahab gathered all of the Israelites to Mount Carmel for this good old-fashioned showdown between the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Like-minded professor of ministry, Jeffrey Keyes, said it is a gathering, a time of reckoning, akin to a Wild West shootout, where contending powers gather in one place for this winner-takes-all demonstration of power. Elijah essentially asks the people to make a choice between Baal and Yahweh. He poses the question, how long will you go limping with 2 different opinions? 2 beliefs, 2 gods, just pick one. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Now, Elijah is one of the more interesting and colorful characters in the Bible. And God used him during a very important time in Israel's history. The poor guy's life was filled with turmoil. At times, he was bold and decisive. And other times, he was fearful and tentative. He knew both the power of God, but also the depths of depression. And some theologians would suggest that he maybe wasn't a very likable guy, with all that intensity and highs and lows. But the same could be said of many prophets who oftentimes end up being disliked because of what they are called to do and to say. Nevertheless, God sent Elijah, his loyal prophet, to create this confrontation, this shootout at the OK Corral between Baal and God before an assembly of Israelites. This winner-takes-all move, this call for everything to come to a head because all that had been going on was clearly in violation of God's commandments. Ahab and his queen Jezebel had led the people astray. They had led them away from worshiping only the God of Israel. And Ahab was a very, very bad man and a very, very bad king. And he was picking and choosing a way of life that benefited him the most rather than what was true and honest. But there's one thing that we know. Gods are very demanding. They want your absolute allegiance. And one of the demands of the storm god Baal was of human sacrifice, typically children. And yes, I too am reminded of the horrific stories that we are witnessing from the news and social media as this current day war goes on in Israel and the Gaza Strip, and all the tragedies that are happening to the innocent people, many of whom are children. But in Ahab's day, he looked on and he approved, as his kingdom expanded and was enriched at the cost of its most vulnerable, the kids. At the same time, by the queen's authority, the prophets of Yahweh were being killed off. A crisis was coming, a confrontation was inevitable. The God you follow makes demands upon you. The problem is that you cannot serve two different entities. Elijah had been commissioned by Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, to make clear God's demands. All this with Baal had to stop. The story at first seems to be about a king and queen. But in fact, it's about a prophet. Two Hebrew words are used for prophet. The first is Navi, and it means fruit of the lips. And the second, Hosea, which is translated as seer. And both words describe the prophet's role as a provider of nourishment and as a truth teller. Think of it in this way. In times of thirst and hunger, the prophets provide fruit from the Lord to nourish and strengthen the people. And it also points to that which is neglected, overlooked, disregarded. Prophets function as their intermediary between God and humanity, both carrying messages of nourishment and truth-telling from God to the people and speaking on behalf of humanity into the very ear of God. God anoints kings to do what David started out doing, placing God's word and commandments at the center of life, at the center of the community. God anoints prophets to speak to the people and sometimes to kings and queens on God's behalf to convey God's messages. Now, it's common to think of prophets as people who foresee the future and perhaps receiving these special visions. And to some extent, that is true. But it's really putting the emphasis on the wrong thing. Let me explain. Scientists have been telling us for the last 30 years that human activity is messing with weather patterns and causing global climate change. And they've been telling us all along about the things that they see right in front of them. As people who understand things like water temperature and melting ice caps. And we can think of prophets as something like that. They see what's in front of them right now, and they're commissioned by God to tell the truth about it, even if that truth makes people uncomfortable, and the prophet fairly unpopular. The wisdom of the prophet is in the fruit of their lips, their words. And just in case you're about ready to give up on those Israelites who seemed all too eager to follow Baal along with the royal family, we need to remember that each god offered certain benefits. Each religion had attractive features. The storm god Baal was very important. He was very attractive in a region where the presence of water or the absence of water played this critical role in the politics from ancient times and continues to do up to the present day. Those who control the water control the land. And Elijah and Yahweh were already responsible for a 3.5-year drought to punish the kingdom for its unfaithfulness. And this is particularly humiliating to the followers of Baal, the storm god, who was responsible for thunder and lightning and rain. So when Elijah challenged the people with his question, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. And if Baal is God, then follow him. When Elijah does that, Scripture tells us that the people did not answer a single word. They were silent. They were afraid to say the wrong thing. They were afraid to make the wrong choice. The gods that we follow make demands upon us. In our story, the words and wisdom come down on the side of Yahweh, the God of Israel and Judah. And Elijah taunts the people at this showdown. You heard the story. Elijah challenges, whose God will send down burning fire on their offering? And the prophets of Baal went first. And they called upon Baal morning to noon, but there was no response. And they took to limping and dancing ritually around the altar. And there was silence. And Elijah began to ridicule the prophets, taunting them, suggesting, hey, maybe your God is off meditating or on a journey or taking a nap. The prophets grew more frenzied, and they cried louder, and they resorted to cutting themselves until they bled. But Baal was silent. And when Elijah's turn came, he said, come, draw closer to me. He built a trench around the altar, and he saturated it with water. And he put the wood and the bowl on top. And he put this precious water on it. Remember, there was this 3.5-year drought. And he took this precious water and poured it on the wood. And Elijah offered up a prayer unto God, petitioning God to answer him so that the people might know that the Lord was the God of Israel and to repent. And God responded by sending fire that consumed the bull, the wood, the altar, and all of the water. And the people fell down, and they declared, the Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God. In some regard, this was yet another indictment on the people's wavering faith. They needed evidence of God's power before they would believe. Nevertheless, the God of Israel indeed proved to the doubters which deity was God. You cannot serve two gods. It's the same message we later receive from Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, both in Matthew and in Luke's Gospels. Bernard Eller, Christian author, pastor, and pacifist, rightly said, one's ultimate loyalty must converge in a single point. To try to go two ways at once will rip a person down the middle. We can't serve two masters, two gods. We can't be of two opinions. Elijah's question and forthright challenge on Mount Carmel rings true through the ages. How long will you waver? If the Lord is God, then follow God. If Baal is God, then follow Baal. But the problem for us isn't as clearly identified as when Elijah posed the question. When our loyalties are divided, it can be masqueraded as things such as material possessions, devices, the newest iPhone or tablet, a fancy sewing machine with all the bells and whistles. I'm just mentioning that one for a friend. But that one important product, that one thing that we need the most, that one thing that we'll buy that's going to complete us. It's been said that we know our gods by what we have on our calendar and in our checkbooks. How do we use those precious commodities of time and money? For what will we sacrifice either of those? Against whom will we defend those choices? And just so there is no misunderstanding, I do not believe that all of us as people of faith will have the same expenditures or the same calendars. There are so many ways to show God's love in the world. And let me say that again. There are so many ways to show God's love in the world. Some of us are called to share God's love by the music they provide. Others by the coffee and cookies that they prepare, or the casseroles that they bake. Some are called to lead Bible studies, to teach children, and others to sit on leadership committees. Some work with missions outside the U.S., some missions inside the U.S., while others help to feed and provide housing for the poor, or to hand over a bag of hygiene items to a struggling mom. Our ways are not identical. God's particular call on each of our lives is as individual as our DNA. But make no mistake, God does call us to give of ourselves. How? How much? Where and when? These are for us to think about and pray about and then to act upon. The wisdom of the prophet is in the fruit of his lips. How long? How long will we go indecisive of who is worthy of our time, energy, and commitment? It's a timeless question, and one we should ask ourselves every day. The prophet is not an easy guy, but he knows how to get our attention. For all of his tough talk, he's only saying one thing. The gods we serve are making demands upon us. It is good for us to know that God is God, and not to confuse God with any other things that we turn to when we are seeking comfort and reassurance. God is God, and prepared to pour down holy fire upon us to ignite us with that passion for God's concerns. God is God. How will any of us answer that call? Let us pray. God of Elijah, with great fire you made your presence known to the worshipers of Baal. Help us to resist the temptation to place our trust and faith in anything other than you. Receive our worship and strengthen our faith. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission today is we're starting our pledge drive for the next year. You'll soon be receiving a letter. And our focus this year is really better together, the future is bright. The session spent some time thinking about themes and thinking about what we've really accomplished in the last year. And what we've accomplished is we've come out of COVID just as strong as before. A lot of communities, church communities, really struggled coming back out of COVID. And we've done a good job with that, thanks to a lot of people in this room. There's some highlights in the letter, but I'd like to talk about a few of those as well. You know, our Bible school came back strong. We had our same core of great volunteers and wonderful kids. And of course, we had some great weather this summer. So those of us that were involved with VBS really enjoyed it. It was a roaring success, right? Remember the theme? It was roar. Did you like that? Yeah. And of course, our youth program, some of you may know this, our youth program has grown so much this year, we've really split it into two groups. So the youth group has been a good time as well this fall. And that's been a lot of fun. And of course, the Faith and Grace Garden continues to grow. They had a record amount of produce this year, and there's lots of folks in the community involved with that. It's really been a great time. So the point is, our future is really bright. You know, we've come back together, we're better together, the future is bright, and we're really excited about what we're going to do for next year. You know, we've got the roof repaired after the devastating hailstorm. We're thinking about some improvements next year to the church as well. So as you receive the pledge letter and consider prayerfully what you could commit to for next year, we sure hope that you continue to join us in this wonderful faith journey that we have here. So thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.